The second one, when people will confess that he's Lord, is at the Battle of Armageddon. They will confess that he's Lord. The third time they will confess that he is Lord will be at the Great White Throne Judgment. The second time will be at the Battle of Armageddon. The third time will be at the Great White Throne Judgment. Now somebody gonna say, okay, Pastor, what about the first time? What about the first time? Well, I'm hoping that everybody on this Zoom call, everybody on this Zoom call has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you bowed in your heart and you said, dear Lord Jesus, come into my life and save me.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of the Second Coming of Jesus Christ, the Battle of Armageddon, Part 1. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the Second Coming of Jesus Christ, the Battle of Armageddon, Part 1.
He came and that night, only the shepherds knew that he came. Now, eventually, about a year later, the wise men would come, right? But on that night that he came, the only ones that knew about it beside Mary and Joseph and maybe a couple others were the shepherds. So he came in humility. But in the second coming, he's coming back in power and great glory. My. I like that right there. I could park there for a while just thinking about when he comes back, you know, and how, you know, even today, you know, people make fun of Jesus. You know, they misinterpret who Jesus is, right? Some people say that he was a man. Some people say that he didn't even exist. That, you know, there's, when you read history, that there's no mention of a character such as the name of Jesus. Some will tell you that he was a prophet, you know. So Jesus, when he comes back, he's going to get it straight as to who he is. And there'll be no question about who he is when he comes back. You know, I wrote a book, and the title of the book is Everybody Ought to Know Who Jesus Is. And in the book, I go from eternity past to eternity in the future. And I hit every aspect of the mention of Christ. And we talk about who he is. Who is Jesus? That we as believers, we ought to have a good understanding as to who Jesus is. And so if we understand who he is, we realize that the first time he came in humility, and the second time he's coming back in power and great glory. The first time he came as a servant. The Bible says that he came to seek and to serve that which was lost, those who were lost. He came as a servant. He came humble as a servant. The second time he comes back, he's coming back as Lord. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, in beginning in verse 5. And it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the very form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, here we go with that humbling again, right? Here we go with the humbling. That first time he came, what did he do? He humbled himself. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Look at this. Wherefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So he's coming back as Lord. And every tongue will confess that he is Lord. You know, I'm going to preach a message one time, and it's going to be, and I just now thought about this, the three confessions as Jesus as Lord. The three confessions, you might want to write this down. I'm giving you, this is fresh. This is fresh from the Holy Spirit. The three confessions of Jesus as Lord. All right. The first one, I'm going to come back to. The second one, when people will confess that he's Lord, is at the Battle of Armageddon. They will confess that he's Lord. The third time they will confess that he is Lord will be at the Great White Throne Judgment. The second time will be at the Battle of Armageddon. The third time will be at the Great White Throne Judgment. Now somebody gonna say, okay, Pastor, what about the first time? What about the first time? Well, I'm hoping that everybody on this Zoom call, has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you bowed in your heart and you said, dear Lord Jesus, come into my life and save me. And so hopefully we have all done that. The first time that Jesus is confessed as Lord is when you did it, when you accepted him and you said, Lord, I bow my head and I accept you as my Lord and Savior. That's the first time. The second time is at the Battle of Armageddon. And the third time is during the Great White Throne Judgment. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You guys remember that commercial. I can't remember if it was for a muffler or what it was for, but it said that if you don't get our muffler, you're going to eventually have to get another one. And you can get our muffler now and get a good one and not have to worry about it after a while. And you remember the catchphrase? The catchphrase was, pay me now or pay me later. Pay me now or pay me later. And so if you have asked Christ to come into your life, that you've paid him, that you've paid him, every knee shall bow. Your knee has already bowed and your tongue has confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord. So praise God. We, you know, amen. I'm putting my hands up in the air, hearty, hearty, like you just don't care, right? That we have made that confession, and we don't have to worry about Armageddon, or we don't have to worry about the Great White Throne, because in those two situations, it's not a good situation to be in, right? Because at the Battle of Armageddon, you're going to be destroyed. You know, those who will confess him as Lord there, they, you know, many of them will be destroyed. And at the Great White Throne, when you confess him as Lord, you'll do that on your way to eternity in hell. Wow. Eternity in hell. I don't want to go there. So I'd rather just think about all these people that are shaking their fist in the face of God, in the face of Christ, you know, refusing to bow and receive God's plan, that they will bow one day. They will bow one day. And I don't want to bow at the times that they bow. So thank God that he came as a servant. He came to seek and to serve, but he's coming back as Lord. The first time he came in weakness. You know, he divested himself of his deity. And I, again, notice I say he didn't get rid of it, but he chose not to use it. So he came in weakness. The next time he comes, we've already read it, he's going to come in power. He's not coming as a weakling. He's not coming as somebody with no strength. The next time he comes, he's coming with power. So let's take a commercial break, right? Let's take a commercial break. And during the commercial, this is the commercial, right? The first time he came, He came as a babe in the manger. The second time he comes, he'll come in power and great glory, riding a horse. All right. Commercial was over. All right. Commercial was over. All right. So he's coming back in power and in glory. The first time he came as Savior. You know, he came to save the world. He came to die on the cross so that people might be saved. But the second time, he will come as King. You know, the Bible in the Old Testament talks about David will always have a seed on the throne for eternity. Well, who is that seed? Well, we know that Jesus Christ came through the lineage of David, and that he will be the eternal King that sits on the throne forever and ever and ever. The first time he came as Savior. The next time he comes, he will come as King. The first time he came, he brought salvation. He came to offer salvation to those that were lost. He came to say, I've come to give my life as a ransom for many. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And so when Christ came that first time, his main purpose was to bring salvation. The next time he comes, he's coming to bring judgment. And you know, that's what the disciples, see, here's where the disciples got it mixed up. Because remember in Acts chapter 1, when Jesus had died, was buried, rose again, he appeared to them for many days after that. The disciples thought that, hey, it's at this time that he's going to judge the world and he's going to restore the kingdom back to Israel. And Jesus said, no, you guys missed it. You know, you guys missed it. The first time I came to bring salvation. I came to save souls. That was my mission. That was my objective. The first time I came was to save souls. And now when I'm coming back, I'm bringing judgment. You know, I've let me see. I think I might say that here. Okay. Yeah. Right. The first time he came in peace. Right. But the next time he comes, he's coming with a sword. Right. And the sword is a symbol of judgment. So the first time he came in peace, bringing salvation. And the second time he's going to come in judgment and he's bringing a sword. And the first time he came, he was recognized by a few. Like I said earlier, very few people recognized him. But the next time he comes, he will be recognized by many. That people will see him when he busts the skies open. They will see him and the saints that are with him, and he will do battle. And yeah, man, I can't wait till next week. Not because of the destruction of the Battle of Armageddon, but just to talk about Armageddon and to think about, you know, here he has this army, and the Bible says that a sharp sword goes out of his mouth, and it destroys the enemies of God. And the people that are riding with him, they're not going to get a drop of dirt or a drop of blood on their garments, because they're not going to have to do anything. He's going to do it all. We just going to ride for show, right? We're going to be like the guy or the girl, right, who went to the prom, right? And for the guy, you know, he wanted the lady that he took to the prom, right, to have on all her nice dress and nice shoes and hair all done up and jewelry on, right? And the girl that took her boyfriend or her boy to the prom, she wanted him to what? Come in a tuxedo with a bow tie, with shiny shoes, right? And on that night, what did we know? They was going to be clean as the board of health. We knew that they were going to be, as my dad, we used to say, I remember a lot of things that my dad said. My dad, when somebody was clean, he would say, clean as a cucumber, rusty as a nail, haven't had a bath since Columbus sailed. Oh, man, I miss my dad sometimes, you know, when I think about some of those crazy things that he used to say. But But you know, when you went to the prom, you was clean. You know, you didn't plan on getting dirty. And so when we ride back with Jesus at the second coming in the Battle of Armageddon, we're going to be clean. You know, we're not going to get dirty, you know, because and Jesus is not even though Jesus is going to be doing all the fighting, he's not going to get dirty, because the Bible says that a sharp sword goes out of his mouth and he will destroy the nations. All right. So we said he came in peace and he'll come with the sword. All right. Now, there's a couple New Testament terms for the second coming, right? There's the Greek word parousia, and this word actually means coming. It's used in places like 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, and it carries with it the idea of one who comes to be present with another. Parousia. One day Jesus will appear in the heavens and he will gather his followers to himself and they be present with them forever. You know, so parousia, the coming of Christ. And then there is the apocalypse. And when you look at the last book of the New Testament, the book of Revelation, it's actually called the apocalypse. And that means to unveil or uncover. The second coming of Christ will be like the pulling back of a curtain, and we will see Jesus behind that curtain, ready to come back to earth, right? And then there is another term for the second coming. It's called epiphany. And we've all heard that word epiphany. It's like you've got this new uncovering, or this, like you ever see, like the light bulb went on inside of a person's head, right? An epiphany. And so the word means manifestation or appearing, and is used in reference to the second coming of Jesus Christ. So the Bible speaks about the second coming of Christ. Now, you know, there's some people, so again, Pastor Glaze is going to give you the straight deal. There's some people that don't believe in the second coming. They don't believe that Jesus is going to come again. You know, they believe that he already came and that we're already in the millennial period, right? Some of your good, probably, Pastor Glaze getting in a lot of trouble when he says stuff, but some of your good Presbyterian and Methodist friends, if they, Catholic friends, some of your good Catholic friends, if they understand their doctrine, right, then they believe that Jesus is not coming back again. They believe he already came. He's already here, right? That his spirit is already here. So they would not look at a second coming. They would not see the second coming of Jesus Christ. But we believe that he is coming again. You know, I know we sing a song. We sing it on Sunday mornings sometimes. Coming again, maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, maybe soon. Coming again, oh, what a wonderful day that will be. Jesus is coming again. Now, I know that song probably was primarily written about the rapture, you know, because that is going to be a beautiful day, you know, for us. You know, sometimes, you know, I just look at this world and some of the heartaches that's in this world and some of the wickedness that's in this world. And, you know, you just cry out and you say, come quickly, Lord Jesus, you know. And so, you know, usually when we say that, we're talking about the rapture. We're not talking about the second coming, because the rapture is the next event on God's calendar. So we'll be we talk about the rapture. But I would say, in a sense, you know, we say coming again, come Lord Jesus, you know, in reference to the second coming, because we know that that's when he's going to take care of all the wickedness on this world. He's going to wipe out all, and we're going to look at this next week. So you want to join us, tell one of your friends, let a friend know, join us next week as we look at the Battle of Armageddon. That's when he wipes out the wicked ones on this earth and ushers in his kingdom at the second coming, culminating in the Battle of Armageddon. So the Bible is very clear that Jesus is coming again, that he's coming again. I tell you what, let me hit this right here, and then we'll save the rest for next week, because this right here ties into the Battle of Armageddon. We see in Revelation 19 and verse 11. Let me turn there and read that to you again. Revelation 19 and verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. So we see Christ is seated on a white horse, and this symbolizes purity and holiness. He is faithful and true. And this designation was used to demonstrate his character is truthful, perfect, and dependable, right? So, in those verses, it says a lot about who Christ is, that, he is pure, he is holy, he is faithful, he is perfect, he is dependable. He said he's coming back, and you can take that to the bank, that he is coming back. Jesus is coming back again. And he's coming, and he'll judge, and he'll make war, right? And that's where we get into the Battle of Armageddon. Christ is about to wage war against evil. When this takes place, many people will be destroyed. Some may say, or some may think, it is unfair. Why would he do such a thing? Why would Jesus come back and wipe people out, right? But unlike man, who may sometimes wage a war and destroy lives for wicked purposes, I don't want to be political, and I don't want to get into the politics of things, and you might not agree what I'm getting ready to say, but I believe that Vladimir Putin of Russia, who waged this war against Ukraine, did it for nefarious purposes, right? He just decided that, and again, I might not understand everything, so I'm saying that, but he just decided that he wanted to take over Ukraine, or he wanted to stop them from doing the things that they were doing, and so he just sent his military in to take over, and now they are systematically, destroying places in Ukraine and taking over. I believe, now, maybe there was another way to do it, but I just believe that, he waged the war for nefarious purposes. But Jesus is not going to do that. It's not going to be for nefarious purposes. The Battle of Armageddon, when Christ brings his judgment, it will be for righteous purposes. He'll have a righteous motive in mind. And you gotta think about this too now, saints, is that look at for 2,000 years since Jesus died on the cross to extend grace and mercy to those who are lost, and the opportunity for people to get right that people have refused to do that. And so he's been gracious and merciful for a long period of time. And so at the end of this period will be a time of judgment. And this judgment will be according to righteousness. It's not going to be for nefarious purposes, but his judgment will be according to righteousness.
Thank you for joining us today on Encouraged in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Second Coming of Jesus Christ, The Battle of Armageddon, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Second Coming of Jesus Christ, The Battle of Armageddon, Part 1, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Second Coming of Jesus Christ, The Battle of Armageddon, Part 1. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Second Coming of Jesus Christ, The Battle of Armageddon, Part 1, from our Bible's prophecy series, or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, come from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.